Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're tackling a topic that I think sparks a lot of dreams, but also maybe just a little bit of intimidation, right? Real estate investing.
It's yeah.
Like you're stepping into this whole other world, this marketplace, but it's got all these possibilities, but also, let's be honest, a fair share of pitfalls too.
Right.
So luckily for us, we're breaking down 5 key steps to get you started in real estate investing.
Okay.
And this guide is really all about just getting you grounded in the fundamentals. And you know what they say, right?
Yeah.
A strong foundation is key. I mean, whether you're building a house or, in our case, maybe a real estate empire.
Yeah. And what I really appreciate about this particular source
right.
is that it doesn't try to sell you on like a get-rich-quick scheme.
Right.
It really emphasizes being strategic, having a knowledge-driven approach.
Absolutely. And I think that's refreshing, you know, in a field that sometimes, honestly, gets associated with a lot of hype.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. But you might not like where you end up.
Yeah, very true.
And speaking of knowing where you're going, the author who, by the way, teaches real estate investment analysis at Columbia University, they kick things off with a really crucial first step. Self-assessment.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up, you know, scrolling through listings, maybe daydreaming about owning those beautiful properties.
Oh, yeah.
But if you haven't really taken the time to define, let's call it your investor DNA first, well, it's kind of like setting sail without a compass. You know what I mean?
Okay, so let's say you're listening right now and you're thinking, okay, real estate investing, this sounds intriguing, but self-assessment, I don't even know where to begin with that. What are some of the questions you should be asking yourself?
Well, a fundamental one is, you know, what's your investment style? I mean, are you someone who's looking for more immediate cash flow? Like you want that monthly rental income?
Right.
Or are you thinking more long-term, you know, building wealth maybe for retirement?
So it's like, are you looking for that steady paycheck now, or are you aiming for that big win years down the line?
Exactly.
It's about aligning your investment strategy with where you are in life.
Right.
And what your goals are.
Yeah. And then another important question is thinking about your risk tolerance.
Okay.
So are you comfortable with those value add opportunities?
Right.
These are often properties that might need a significant amount of work.
Yeah.
But they could potentially offer a much higher return.
It's like, you know, flipping a house.
Exactly.
Potentially very, very lucrative, but definitely not for someone who's afraid of a little or maybe a lot of work. So what would be, like, on the other end of the spectrum, a lower risk option for someone who really values stability?
Well, you could think about something like a triple net lease.
Okay.
And basically with a triple net lease, the tenant is responsible for covering most of the expenses.
Sure.
Things like property taxes, insurance, even maintenance. So as the owner, it gives you a much more predictable income stream, but the potential returns, they might be lower compared to a more hands-on investment.
So it sounds like it's all about finding that balance, that sweet spot between the risk and the potential reward, figuring out what you as an individual, what sits well with you, with your personality, your financial goals, right?
Exactly. Because that self-awareness that you're talking about right now, that can really save you from a lot of headaches later on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, maybe even some financial heartache.
It's like they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right.
Speaking of prevention, the next key step the author talks about is education.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you might be thinking, education, can I just skip ahead, start looking at listings?
Right, right.
But the author makes a really compelling case for why putting in the time to learn, investing in your knowledge, yeah, that's non-negotiable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I always think about it like learning the rules of a game before you actually start playing. I mean, you wouldn't just jump into a game of chess without knowing how all the pieces move, right?
Yeah.
Just doesn't make any sense.
And when it comes to real estate, understanding the lingo, that's crucial. The author actually had this really great analogy. They said, misusing real estate jargon is worse than having spinach in your teeth. It's like having an A for amateurs stamped on your forehead.
Oh, wow. Ouch, right?
Yeah, that's a rough image.
It is a painful image, but it really drives home the point, right?
It does, yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. Misusing these industry terms when you're talking to people who know what they're doing, that's a major credibility killer, right?
Right.
Imagine you're trying to negotiate a deal and you're fumbling over these really basic vocabulary words. It signals to everyone else at the table that maybe you're not quite ready for the big leagues yet. It's so true. And one term that you definitely want to make sure you understand is cap rate. Think of it kind of like the interest rate on your real estate investment. It helps you compare different properties and see how profitable they could be.
So if NOI is the engine of a property, it sounds like cap rate is kind of like the speedometer, right? It gives you a sense of how fast your investment could potentially grow. And you know what? We're actually going to dive much deeper into the nitty-gritty of calculating cap rates in a future episode because, trust me, it is a game changer once you understand it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we've covered the importance of really understanding the language of real estate, but what about the numbers? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it all boils down to making smart financial decisions, right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And this is where things get really, I think, interesting for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
The author really emphasizes the importance of mastering these key financial metrics. And one of the most important ones is net operating income, or NOI.
Right, NOI. We've had that term before.
Exactly, yeah. And think of it like this. NOI, that's the heartbeat of any income-producing property.
Oh, okay, love a good analogy. So NOI, the heart, pumping the lifeblood, the income into that investment. But how do we actually calculate it, and why is it so important to have a firm grasp on that number?
So imagine you're considering a rental property, right? The rent that you're collecting every month, that's like the property's revenue.
Okay.
But you've also got your expenses, right? You've got to factor in things like property taxes, insurance, maintenance, maybe even landscaping, property management fees, all that. So NOI, that's what's left over after you subtract all of those operating expenses from your rental income.
So it's essentially the profit that a property is generating before we even start thinking about things like mortgage payments or income taxes on that profit.
Exactly. Precisely.
Sure.
NOI gives you this really clear picture of the property's cash flow just from its core operations.
Okay.
And here's why it's so important. Lenders use NOI to assess your ability to qualify for that mortgage. Appraisers, they use it to determine the market value of a property.
Right.
And of course, investors, they use it to compare potential investments and figure out what kind of returns they're looking at.
So it's like NOI, it's like the financial report card for a property, right? It tells you if that property is a star student or if it needs, you know, a little extra help in the financial aid department.
I like that.
But even if a property, you know, looks amazing on paper, we still need to do our due diligence, right? It's like checking references before you offer someone a job, no matter how good that resume looks.
Absolutely. You're spot on.
Yeah.
And the author really emphasizes that due diligence, it's a two-part process.
Okay.
And it all starts with thorough market research. It's like, I always say it's like checking the weather forecast before you go on a road trip.
Right.
You don't want to get caught in a snowstorm without your winter gear.
Yeah, exactly. So before we even start diving into, you know, the specifics of a particular house, we need to understand the lay of the land, so to speak, of that entire area. What are some of the factors we should be considering when we're doing that market research?
Well, you basically want to become like an amateur economist, right?
Okay.
For your target market.
Yeah.
You want to look at things like, what's the population growth? What are the demographics?
Right.
Are people moving into the area or are they leaving? What are the employment trends like? Are the big employers expanding or are they downsizing or potentially even relocating?
So it sounds like we're really trying to kind of get a glimpse into the future, right?
Yeah,
we're looking for those clues about whether there's going to be strong demand for housing in that area down the road.
Exactly. And don't forget about the local economy as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are property taxes going up? How's the municipal budget looking? Because those factors, they can really have a big impact on your operating expenses, which ultimately affects your bottom line as an investor.
It's like putting together a puzzle, right? We're looking at all these different pieces of information to get a complete picture of, like, how healthy that market really is and what the potential is down the line. But what about things that are very specific to the rental market? What do we need to be paying attention to there?
Oh, yeah, that's key too, right? You want to look at market rents.
Okay.
What are comparable properties renting for in the area?
Right.
And how do those rents compare to, you know, what you're hoping to get for the type of property that you're interested in? And then another big one is vacancy rates.
Okay.
So a low vacancy rate, that usually suggests that there's high demand for rentals.
Right.
But if the vacancy rate is high, well, that could mean that you're going to have a harder time finding tenants and keeping those units occupied.
So it's about kind of like gauging the pulse of that rental market, right? Is it strong and steady or is it a little bit, you know, erratic? Okay. So let's say we've done all of our market research. We found an area that seems really promising. We've even stumbled across a property that seems like a potential winner. This is where we really got to put on our detective hats and dive into the property-specific due diligence, right?
Absolutely.
It's time to scrutinize, I mean, every single detail. And it starts with the physical condition of the property. So no more judging a book by its cover, right? We're cracking it open. We're reading every single page, even the fine print.
Exactly. You got it. A professional building inspection is an absolute must. Think of it as getting a physical exam for the property.
Okay.
It can uncover all sorts of hidden issues that, if you don't catch them early on, could turn into major costly repairs later.
Right, like that leaky faucet that's secretly causing, like, a ton of water damage behind the walls, right?
Exactly. That's a perfect example.
Right.
You also want to make sure that the property is up to code, that it meets all the zoning requirements.
Right.
These might seem like, you know, kind of minor details, but trust me, they can cause huge headaches and get very, very expensive if you don't take care of them early on.
Right. It's all about minimizing risk and really, like you were saying before, trying to avoid those unwelcome surprises that can really derail you. So what about some other potential kind of deal breakers we should be looking out for? What else comes to mind?
Parking's a big one, especially if you're looking at multifamily properties.
Yeah.
Is there enough parking for everyone? What are the parking regulations in the area?
Right, because that can be a major source of tenant complaints if there's not enough parking and nobody wants to deal with that. Now, what about environmental concerns? I know that those can be a real deal breaker if there are any kind of red flags there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Mm.
Especially for commercial properties, it's so important to consider any potential environmental risks.
Okay.
Getting a phase one environmental assessment, that can really help uncover any potential contamination issues, maybe from how the property was used in the past, you know, or even just contamination from the surrounding land. The last thing you want is to discover hazardous materials, you know, buried beneath the surface after you've already, you know, invested your money.
It's like they say, it's better to be safe than sorry, especially when it comes to potentially, you know, really costly environmental remediation. We've talked a lot about property due diligence, but before we move on to the financial analysis, there's one more aspect that the author mentions that I think is worth highlighting, and that's understanding the history of a property, especially for commercial properties.
Yeah, that's a really good point. People often overlook that.
Yeah.
It's so important. I mean, imagine you buy this property, right, and then you later find out that it used to be a gas station.
Oh, no.
And now you're on the hook for cleaning up contaminated soil.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you buy maybe a former restaurant without realizing that the plumbing system just isn't equipped to handle the demands of a different type of business.
Oh, wow. Talk about hidden costs. So how do we go about uncovering this type of historical information?
Well, you can start by talking to local officials, doing some digging through property records, even just reaching out to people who've lived in the area for a long time or business owners. They might have some insights for you.
So it's like you're putting together this kind of historical puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. You're uncovering the story of that property to make sure that there aren't any, you know, skeletons hiding in the closet, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. And understanding the past can really help you make smarter decisions about the property's potential in the future.
Good point.
And speaking of the future, that brings us to the really exciting part. Analyzing the numbers and figuring out what kind of return you can get on your investment.
Okay, so we've made it through market research, property due diligence. We're like real estate detectives out here. But now it's time to really talk numbers because that's the heartbeat of any investment decision, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is where we really see if a property is going to work for us financially. The author talks about this great tool, the Annual Property Operating Data, or APOD. It's basically an income statement specifically for a rental property.
Okay, so if I'm picturing this correctly, the APOD is kind of like this snapshot, a financial snapshot of a property, and it shows us, you know, how much money it's making, how much it's costing to run over the course of a year, right?
Exactly, yeah. The APOD captures everything. The rental income, vacancy rates, operating expenses, property taxes, insurance, maintenance, you name it, it's all in there. It's like this really complete picture of the property's financial performance.
And this is where it gets interesting, right? Remember our friend net operating income, NOI? The APOD helps us figure out that magic number.
Yeah, that's right. The APOD basically takes us straight to the NOI. And as we've talked about, that number is essential, not just for understanding a property's profitability, but also for getting financing, right?
So the APOD is like the treasure map and NOI is the buried treasure.
I like that.
But even if we've unearthed the NOI, we've got to, you know.
We got to look ahead a little bit.
Yeah, see what the future holds. And that's where the pro forma comes in. It's like our crystal ball for figuring out potential returns.
Right. So the pro forma takes all that great data from the APOD, that historical data, and it says, okay, let's look at current trends. Let's factor in potential changes in the market. How might this property perform in 5 years, in 10 years?
So we're basically taking that financial snapshot like we talked about and then adding this time lapse element to it. We're seeing how those numbers might change over time.
Exactly. Yeah. We're trying to predict things like how much we can raise rent, what vacancy rates might look like, even how operating expenses might fluctuate over time. The pro forma helps us get a handle on those potential changes and see how they might affect our bottom line as investors.
This is really where it starts to feel real, right? Like, we're not just dreaming about owning property. We're making these informed decisions about our financial future. But the author, they don't just stop at one pro forma, right? They want us to explore different possibilities.
Yeah, it's not enough to just have a best case scenario. They emphasize the importance of creating multiple pro formas. A best case, a worst case, and even a most likely scenario. It's all about being prepared, right?
So we're not getting stuck with rose-colored glasses on. We're really stress testing our investment by asking ourselves those tough questions. What if there's an economic downturn? What if something unexpected happens and we have a major maintenance cost?
Exactly. And then by comparing all of these different scenarios, we get a much more, you know, realistic and comprehensive view of what we might be getting ourselves into, both the risks and the potential rewards.
It's like turning on the headlights so we can actually see what's coming down the road, right?
I like that.
Anticipate those bumps and curves. This has been fantastic. We've really covered so much ground today. We started with, like, you know, looking inward, doing that self-assessment. Then we ventured into market analysis, the importance of due diligence. Now we're, like, you know, crunching numbers and projecting future returns like pros.
It's been quite a journey. And I think, you know, if there's one key takeaway, I hope it's that knowledge is power. The more informed you are, the better decisions you're going to make.
Couldn't agree more. Take your time, do your research, don't be afraid to ask a ton of questions. And on that note, we're going to leave you with one final thought to ponder. If you were to dive headfirst into the world of real estate investing today, what type of property or market would you be drawn to and why? Let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Until next time, happy investing.
And happy learning.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.